Hello, welcome to the Rising Podcast. My name is Tunisheji Omagbemi and I am your host. Today we discuss branding for better visibility post-pandemic. And I have with me Uju Obwekwe. Uju Obwekwe, a business brand and marketing strategist, helps entrepreneurs and professionals achieve financial success through the power of their business and personal brand. Uju is a fellow of the Institute of Brand Management of Nigeria and a fellow of the Institute of Management Consultants and alumni of the inaugural cohort of the African Women Entrepreneurship Cooperative, a leadership program for women across Africa with a certificate in corporate innovation from the Stanford Graduate School of Business Lead Program and a certificate in entrepreneurial management from the Enterprise Development Center of Pan Atlantic University. You're welcome, Uju, to the Rising Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. So let's just dive into the conversation. Let's start with a bit of background. So I know that branding, brand identity, brand visibility, all of these are, you know, very common terms. But what truly is brand identity and how and why, I beg your pardon, do organizations need one?
That's an awesome question. So a company's brand identity is how the business wants to be perceived by customers. It means the visible components of your brand, which include like your logo, the tagline, your typeface, your shape. It is what distinguishes and identifies a brand, and it helps in ease of recognition. So we'll take an example, like the famous Nike swoosh or the Google logo. These are all types of brand identities. And even a company like Coke, the shape of the bottle, you know that shape, even if you're holding the bottle in the dark, you're able to tell that you're holding a Coke bottle. So you have to then codify all those in a brand book where your font styles, your guidelines, your logo and everything. And why is that important? Brands are like shortcuts in people's minds. So when you say to someone, I want Coke, you may mean soft drink, or I want no or Maggie, you might mean seasoning. So you have to be very deliberate about creating a brand because it's an asset. It's what helps to create value for your company, allows you to charge higher prices, and it makes it, even with recruiting your employees, brands can create status and esteem. So after a while, when people see that your logo, they start to associate certain emotions and feelings with it.
Fantastic. I like the part where you said, you know, your brand identity is like a shortcut. Fantastic. Now, with the pandemic, you know, looking at our present situation with the pandemic, what has changed in organizational branding and what will become of organizational branding post-pandemic?
Great question. You know, the fundamentals of brand building, they always remain the same, but it's the how that we're thinking about now. There are three main ways I see that branding will have to, people have to evolve. Number one is when you talk about the experience. What kind of user experience are you giving to people? Number two is people want brands with shared values. And number three is digital. So let me start with experience. We've seen how when people buy something, when people engage with your brand, they want a total experience. You're not going to be able to now separate different parts, you know? There has to be something that makes it the same at every touch point. When you deliver that experience, people are going to share it. So what do you want to work towards? Are you going to work towards getting an award Or should you be working towards giving customers the kind of experience that they leave you five-star reviews, they give you good testimonials? Because in this sharing economy and the space we're in, I, for one, when I go on an Amazon, I would filter by five-star and above. So having an award may be good, but it doesn't mean it will guarantee you that your business stays, you know, profitable. The second one is shared values. People want, in this pandemic, they want companies and organizations that have similar values. How are you treating your employees? A lot of people have changed and enabled people to work from home. How are you teaching, treating your customers? Are you careful about, you know, COVID in your branded environment, in delivering your service? If you're in anything like food or health, are you conscious about COVID? You know, people want to know that. And then the last one is digital experience. The truth is that a lot of businesses have gone digital. You know, there's an explosion of e-commerce adoption. You know, when you are now thinking about your brand, what is the digital experience? What is the core strategy you're using now to deliver that experience? We saw that research has shown that 60% of consumer interactions have been digital post-pandemic, whereas it was 42% before. So as a brand, you should assess your digital presence, review and analyze it. There's been a shift in consumer behavior, you know, and these are the things that have been caused mostly by the pandemic, physical distancing, stay at home, you know, we're shopping in different ways, we're experiencing brands in different ways. How are you, you know, how are you making sure that you're, you know, you're in tune with what majority of consumers are doing?
Yeah.
You know, so we're using omni-channel ways. For example, if you had a grocery store, home delivery, can people come to the shop and just pick it up? Can I shop via online social media platforms? You know, these are all the things. So you need to make sure that you have a strong understanding of how consumer behavior is changing.
Very, very, very insightful. Thank you, Ju, for that. So what is the correlation between organizational culture and organizational brand?
Yeah, great question. You know, so organizational culture and the brand. Now, an organizational culture, what is it made of? It's basically the sum of your people, your processes, your policies, and how this kind of translate into, would I say, into a culture, right? Into the kind of experience that your staff start to have. It's not something that you just write on paper. It's something that comes, evolves with time. So if you have, for example, maybe a flat structure, everybody is, you know, from the boss to the whatever, there's no hierarchical, it's not a real hierarchical structure. It's going to cascade. So when I had my background in banking, and we called everybody on first name basis, from the MD to the cleaners, we're all on first name basis. And if it was, and you know, in Nigeria, there's a strong seniority culture. And Oga and all that. But anytime we did that Oga thing, we got reprimanded. And so after a while, for some people, they couldn't just call, you know, people by their first names. So for example, in a bank like Diamond Bank, Pascal Dozier, who was the chairman, we just called him PGD, which were his initials. And he was very okay with that. And so culture is sometimes a tone that is set by the founder or the CEO and the management. What kind of culture? Is it a culture of innovation? A culture where you want people to be able to speak up and everything. When people don't get reprimanded, when people get, you know, reward or recognition for what you say that you want, then you start to build that culture. But we know that when you build the right culture, it improves performance, it improves the bottom line. And now, how does it correlate to your brand? So basically, when you're building a brand, your first step should be to decide what are your brand values. Those values are like the foundation on which you build the brand. So if your brand values, maybe like I said, a culture of innovation, maybe your values are innovation, or your values are sincerity or integrity, then it means that whatever be the case, you don't skew the thing. If you're based on integrity, for example, there are brands that people trust more than some governments. For example, the Apple or iPhone, where there was a time when there was pressure on iPhone to unlock someone's phone, and iPhone or Apple kind of refused to do that. So you see, people can now trust a brand and say, well, this company has a reputation for integrity, or one of their brand values are integrity. If you have a culture of that, or your brand is based on that, there should be a congruency. Your values and your brand, they should match. So that when you say that you have this culture, or you're trying to go for this culture, you cannot penalize people. Basically, shared values, shared beliefs, and what your brand stands for, the ultimate brand promise that you're making, they should all be in alignment. Once they're in alignment, it's easier for people to believe what the brand says they are. It's easier for the staff to actually fulfill that promise that you're making.
Fantastic. Brand values, brand promise, culture, everything shapes what you do as a brand. So there definitely needs to be an alignment. Thank you for that insight. Some organizations may say, you know, we already have a good brand. Big question is, what opportunities has the pandemic brought for rebranding? And how can organizations take on rebranding?
Thank you very much. You know, one thing that people fail to do many times is they've created a brand, they're on their way, they're on the journey, and certain things have happened. The pandemic is a big, big event. It should cause you to go back and look at your brand once more. When you look at it, what are you trying to do? You're trying to find out, measuring, you know, is your brand still relevant? You're trying to measure how your brand is measuring up with the competition, for example. So I'll give an example. You had a brand where maybe it was all live events before the pandemic. Now with the pandemic, people are going online. They're going on Zoom, right? So the question you should be asking yourself is, how search to see in search results, in traffic, in the number of clients that you have, are you still retaining clients? You have to do these investigations to see, is your brand still relevant? If you refuse to pivot, you refuse to make any adjustments to your strategy, you might find that maybe you started with a certain number of clients or turnover or whatever, and then things are just dwindling. Things are changing. You know, you're not getting, customers are not coming the way they used to. You're not retaining the ones who come. You know, so you must do a search to measure it. When you find that there are lapses, this is when you now start thinking about rebranding. Now, when you talk about rebranding, it's not just slapping your logo on a new thing. It's about going back to say to yourself, what is the promise? Is that promise I'm making still relevant? And the way I'm delivering it, is it still relevant? Because things have changed. We know now that, like, under this dispensation, people are not always so loyal to one brand anymore. It's easy to search online. You could do a price check. So someone, before, you could maybe you write you're an airline and you're flying from Lagos to London, you charge me $2,000. And I'm a loyal customer and I keep buying. Now I can, across maybe one, on one website, do a price check and find four other airlines. So people are having two, three brands. That loyalty, absolute loyalty, yeah, is kind of shifting. People are having two, three brands that they can look at. So when we're talking about rebranding, the whole point is, what are you doing differently? How can you make this promise differently in such a way that people will start to, you know, look at that promise that you're delivering that is relevant to them? You know, so these are the kind of nuances that you need to work on. If you're not careful, you'll end up with that brand that people have moved on from because you haven't stayed relevant.
Absolutely, I agree. Very insightful again. Thank you so much for that, Uju. So let's look at timing. You know, when is it right, or when is it appropriate for organization to key into branding for better visibility?
Branding and visibility is really about the extent to which people can recall and recognize your brand, you know. And I have a model which I like, or the, I have this model I like, which is the PESO model. It talks about paid and shared and owned media, you know. And these are ways by which you can increase your brand awareness. So paid media would traditionally be advertising, but that is, people distrust advertising these days. And media, this is when maybe someone else is like a CNN or a high profile publication might mention your brand. And then there's shared media. This is really where everybody wants the holy grail. Everyone wants to play in, because this is when your content is being shared, it goes viral, you know, because 10 people telling 10 people is so much more effective than, you know, one advertising spot on the radio. Yeah. So this is one of the ways that you can key into increasing your visibility is through shared media.
Beyond implementation, so I heard you, you know, saying that you need to monitor, you need to understand how your brand is being perceived. So, but let's look at how do we actually now move beyond implementation and test our brand perception.
Awesome. So whenever we talk about branding, we should also remember that you have a target audience. Maybe after your segmentation, you can segment, you know, based on demographics, psychographics, behavioral, and demographics. You can now test and see if your brand is still relevant. So conduct market research within your target audience. You can measure the number of people that recognize the brand when they're shown the logo or when they hear your name, and how well do they understand that brand? You know, what do they associate with your brand? I had one of my clients who wanted to rebrand because her supermarket was called, she had an online store that was just called 17 something something. And I was like, okay, you know, it may be difficult for people to associate what you do with it.
Yeah.
So how do you test brand perception? Search the number of visitors to your social media. Are people sharing your content? What about your retention rates? Are people likely to recommend you? Are people doing repeat purchases? These are all different ways that you can share your test your brand perception. But this measurement, it will help you to solve problems before they become, you know, really problematic. Mm-hmm. You know, you will spot the trends. What are the trends? And you'll be able to, you know, quickly pivot if you need to head off those problems.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Now, we've been talking corporate branding. But let's look at one other big aspect of branding, which is personal brand. But let's also, you know, draw it home and look at employee brand, employee personal brand. And what is the relationship between employee personal brand and their organization's brand?
So your personal brand, which we all have, is really the way you kind of package, position, and promote your skills that are relevant to your audience. And everybody has their audience. If you're an employee, it could be, maybe you want to become MD. So that could be the board. It could be, you know, your stakeholders and everything. Now, the relationship between your personal brand and your organizational brand is that branding is really about delivering a promise, and it is usually delivered by the customers, by the employees. So every opportunity is an opportunity for employees to either reinforce the brand, or it could lose some of its integrity. So if you have a personal brand that is based on, it should be based on some of your core values. You might have values of hard work and integrity. And then what about the organization's brand? Mm-hmm. If the two do not marry, then there will be some dissonance. And that's where you see people saying they're not fulfilled, they're not happy going to work. So you don't believe in betting. I'm not saying anything is wrong with betting. You can't work for a betting company.
Absolutely.
Or you don't believe in certain values that you have. Maybe you don't like tobacco, or you don't. So these are the things. Both of them should be in alignment. They should be in alignment, because that is how the employee is responsible for delivering that brand experience. And if they're not sold on your brand, it will show. You know, you get to some places and they say to you, "Ah, you want to buy this thing?" Oh, if you don't like it, they'll tell you. The staff are telling you, "Ours is very expensive. You can actually get it cheaper somewhere else."
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So you customers and the employees should understand their responsibility in delivering on the brand promise, and then align your employees behind your values, so that they understand their role. You know, the personal brand, even in hiring, you need to know, if you're a company that your organization's brand is one of maybe fearlessness or this. There was a time when, I'll use Virgin analogy, when Virgin was coming up, their staff were all meant to be irreverent, you know. Richard Branson wanted a culture where they could, you know, the staff were empowered. So if you don't like that kind of brand, if you want a yes sir brand, or yes, you know, that may not work for you. So there's always that relationship between the employee's personal brand and the organization brand. Basically, it should stay aligned, you know, because you build a satisfied workforce, you will have higher employee retention, and you'll have loyal customers.
Fantastic. I'm hearing a lot of, what I hear is employee's personal brand can become the boom for a corporate brand, and as well can become the breakpoint, you know, or can become the source of negativity and not being competitive as a brand, as an organization. So I feel personally that it needs to be some sort of strategy to get employees to align themselves, that is their personal brand, or to use their personal brand in supporting corporate brand. If you agree with me, how can organizations now motivate staff in supporting corporate brand?
Nice one, because until you have people who are delivering on those promises, you know, you're not going to live up to, you know, the standards that you've set for yourself. So there are people responsible for, the company has made a promise and that people are supposed to deliver them, you need to make sure that both of them match. So it's that reality that shapes your brand reputation, you know, and it means that employees' actions are key to creating and delivering that unique customer experience, you know. And customers themselves will rather, you know, go to where they're made to feel great, they have a great experience and all that. Then the employees also want to work with companies that have great reputation, you know. So it's a kind of win-win situations. Now, how do you make sure that you motivate the staff in supporting your brand? You have to align the people behind your vision, your goals, you know, help them understand, train them, help them understand their role. When you share and bring these company values to life, it means that you're getting the customer unique experience that you want to deliver at the end of the day. How do you do that? You have to do assessments. Mm-hmm. You have to create maybe champions, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to communicate what the brand is. These brand champions are the people that have that commitment to the brand. There's actually a link, or studies have shown that having those brand champions leads to better performance, better results, and better performance. So what are your communication materials about where you articulate that vision and values? I don't know how many times I go somewhere, let's say a bank, and you've gotten an email and the bank is saying, oh, there's a new product, maybe a lease, go and get a car lease. You get to the branch and you're asking them about the product and they're like, ah, I don't know. Have you heard of the place? Mark, did you hear? Dane, did you hear? You know? It shows that there's a big disconnect. And then you also have to reward people. There should be award and recognition to those engaged people, you know? Publicly recognize them for their contributions. I'm a customer of House of Tara. Mm-hmm. Most times I go in there, maybe I do one transaction. But my value of my business shouldn't be just seen by that one transaction. Mm-hmm. There are maybe in a year, maybe I'm doing 200,000 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, and there might be the reason I'm coming back is the way you're treated. Like I walk in, there's, first of all, everybody's like, welcome to House of Tara. And they have the way that they, you know, they exhibit their whatever. Oh, you're not happy with this look, I'll change it. You know, so when people start to feel valued on the side of the corporate organization, if you involve them in decision making, if you give them freedom, you know, help them perform well and reward them well, they're going to just, you know, use that as fuel to make sure that, you know, the business enjoys those benefits. So you have to continue measuring and monitoring the relationship between your customers and your employee. Make sure that, you know, the customer's satisfaction is key. People say that a large percentage of their brand perception is determined by the experience of the employees, you know. So we should improve on that. That is one key way where we can improve on the performance of the customer by having engaged staff, employees.
Whoa, thank you so much, Uju, for that last point. Unfortunately, that's as much as we can go. To be honest, I feel like we should just go on and on, but for the want of time. Thank you once more, Uju, for coming on the Rizon podcast. We've been discussing branding for better visibility with Uju. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Tarija Seju, for having me.
All my pleasure. All my pleasure. Thank you for listening to the Rizon podcast. We hope it's been an interesting time, and we hope that you have been able to take home a few tips and strategy around branding for better visibility. Until we come your way again, I am Tunmi Shejuo Omagbemi, and this is the Rising Podcast. Thank you.